The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stottmiller, with you on this Thursday, 21st day of February 2019, and I've got Dr. Laura Presley with us today. Hello, Dr. Laura. How are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me and talking about election integrity in our precious state of Texas.
That article I did yesterday, and I want to thank the caller that was listening to the show that called you and told you, hey, we're talking about you over here. And the article that I was referencing was actually an American Free Press that Mark Anderson wrote. And, of course, if the audience doesn't realize this, Mark Anderson is on the network 2 to 3 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He's a very good investigative reporter and very, very thorough. I'm glad he did the interview with you.
He's fabulous. He's a very dear friend, has been a dear friend for many years, and he is just a brave angel on this earth. He is.
Well, he's like I am. He's stuck to what he's been doing for many years and struggled to do the best that he could every single day. So
that's right, and he does.
Yeah, he really does. All right, well, wow. You know, before we get into the who, what, where, why, and how they scam and wiggle out and all that other stuff, I don't know, Laura, what's going on, but have you seen any Republicans throwing their hat in the ring to go against Donald Trump?
You know, I have not.
I haven't either.
I think they'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is not what you do. You don't mess this up. There's still the Never Trumpers are out there, but I don't think they have the guts to stand up and try to do something stupid.
Well, it's rather fascinating what's starting to happen here, and this is an indictment against the media. And I don't care who they're reporting on politically, whether it be Democrats, Republicans. They have ceased to be journalists. They have an agenda. They will allow they themselves, meaning the carefully coiffured teleprompter reading characters, are getting, in my estimation, paid way too much. Most of these so-called news reporters have law degrees, and I'm wondering if they have journalism degrees. Now, I don't know what a law degree has to do with journalism, but these guys will sit up there and just absolutely rail and slander, allow guests to do it. The collusion, I still saw a little bit about the Russian collusion yesterday. You know, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, my God. Well,
yeah.
One brave lady from CBS, Laura, she was a reporter. She was doing an interview and she just let it go. She said, you know, 85% of the journalists and reporters that you see, whether behind a camera, with a notepad, or whatever the case may be, 85% of them are Democrats. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm going, yeah, and chances are very, very liberal Democrats working for liberal networks. Since when did a favor, or whether you prefer Democrats over Republicans, since when did that have any anything to do with, here's a news story, we have checked our facts, and here it is. And we're not getting any of that anymore. And many people are thankful that we still have networks such as this, that we can speak freely. How many people from ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox, or any other entity out there, have they been calling you, talking about the voting?
Man, it's been a complete embargo, okay? It has. And, you know, these days we pray for the moderate Democrats to be just rear their head up somewhere. You know, you're being kind calling these guys liberals. They are Marxist communists.
Yep.
I mean, it's not even socialist. I mean, socialist is being also too kind. I mean, it's craziness that's what's out there. And, you know, in our case, it's very interesting. Our case is very unique. And I'm going to talk about some things that a little bit of a paradigm shift for most people, because, you know, the typical election integrity work is done to bash a bunch of illegals who have voted illegally, or dead people, right, who have voted.
Right.
Well, that's not what our case was about. Our case was not about trotting some voters in and figuring out if they were legal to vote or who they voted for to get single or double-digit numbers to win a contest. I was over 1,000 votes short, supposedly, between me and my opponent, but I knew the vote.
Okay, now, the people may not know the story that's listening to you. You ran for the Austin City Council.
Yes. In 2014, I ran for the Austin City Council, and the Democrats put up a Marxist 24-year-old up against me in my district, and he had just moved in a couple weeks before the deadline that he could run, and nothing they could do to get this kid to win. And he was a self-proclaimed atheist. We found a paper that he had published in the University of Virginia in his when he finished his degree just a couple years prior, that he was an atheist. And God bless my district. I mean, we're one of the poorest districts in Austin, Texas. 50 churches within 28 square miles. It was a tight, tight district. Two churches per square mile. And this guy is an atheist, and there's nothing they could do to get him to win. There was absolutely nothing. And so we had done polls. We knew what the results were going to be. And, you know, I ran as a moderate. Right now I'm a Republican precinct chair in Travis County in Austin. At that point I was an independent, and I was, you know, trying to bridge conservative Democrats with conservative Republicans on a bunch of wasteful spending the city was doing. And we were successful at that. We successfully brought these people together, and I was winning that election. And when I know I won the vote, but the problem was I didn't win the count. And that's what our case was focused on, was the illegalities and criminal behavior in the counting process, the electronic voting counting, and what happened in the recount. And so our case was very unique, that we didn't trot a couple of voters in and say, how'd you vote? Were you legal? We didn't focus on that. We took Stalin's approach, and we said, you know what? It doesn't matter who votes.
It's who counts the votes.
It matters who counts. And so that's where the embargo started. The media, mainstream, will not talk about the counting fraud, because I'll tell you what, that's the real issue. The shiny object of a bunch of illegals is a distraction. When you can, it's pennies on the dollar. When you can push a button and change 100,000 votes with one push of a button, that's the big hitter.
Why, if I might ask, why didn't you file a lawsuit?
Great question. We did file a lawsuit. We filed an election contest. And there are some legal strategies on that. The election contest in Texas, you sue your opponent, and it's the lowest legal bar that you have to reach to get a remedy. A criminal case would have been a very high legal bar. So we had two choices, criminal complaint or a civil election contest. And I wanted a new election because I knew I won, all right? I knew I won the vote. So that was our focus, was that election contest. So we filed it. We did a recount. The county in Austin, Travis County, could not produce the legal documents required by the state constitution and the election code for a recount. They brought me into a room, and they said, Dr. Presley, we can't give you a legal ballot. We can't give you the ballot that's required. But the Secretary of State of Texas says this is just fine, what we're going to give you. And I said, okay, well, let's look at it. And by the way, we have watchers here for the recount. We want to watch you retrieve those electronic ballots. Where'd you get them from? And they refused. They refused. And so we recounted the paper absentee ballot, and it was an exact tie, 50% to 50%, exact tie. And when they recounted the electronic ballots, and we don't know where they pulled them from, they wouldn't let us see where they retrieved the electronic ballots that they printed, one per page. That was a 33% result for me, 17% off. That makes no sense. Nobody would ever believe that.
Well, from what I understand, messing around with vote in any capacity is, that's felony.
Well, it's a state jail felony. Sure is.
What I'm getting at here is that, is withholding the vote from a candidate when they want to see the numbers, is this required? In other words, are they breaking the law by not showing you that?
Yes, they were. It was a misdemeanor for them to block my poll watcher. Okay, and that was the obvious criminal offense. And so when we didn't get the actual legal ballots, number one, and we were obstructed from monitoring where the heck they pulled this stuff from, because most people know how to run Adobe Acrobat, and you can change fields in Adobe Acrobat. They just printed this thing. It was a PDF. We don't know where they got it. They printed this thing one per page, almost 4,000 ballots. They hand counted. We have no idea where they pulled them from. And so that was the violation there.
Oh, okay. So this is blowing my mind, because what you're telling me is by, and I'm sure this was sample polling that you did before the actual election took place. Every politician does this. Anybody that's running for public office does this because they want to, you know, it's a big deal. This is going to determine what they're going to be doing for the next 2 or 4 years, or depending on the term of the office that you're taking. So we have a situation where you know you got shorted. You know doggone right well you did. And it's a felony in the state of Texas to mess around with a vote, but then you have a person that it's only a misdemeanor if they don't reveal. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, wait a minute, Laura, this is more than wrong. This is for the outsider just taking a cursory look at this. This is criminal.
It is. There's no question about it. And so, I mean, my head was spinning. I could not believe this was happening. I mean, you know, just, you know, the first couple of years through this, you know, I was angry, and now I'm not. It's like this was meant to be, and the dear Lord put it in my lap, and he knew I wasn't going to walk away from it.
But Laura, but did you ever consider this, that you were supposed to lose that election to go and do what you did afterwards?
Absolutely. Now I do realize that. I do realize that now. I do. And so, you know, my head was spinning, and I, you know, my background is computer technology. I've got 4 patents on computer technology. I was an engineer in semiconductor business for 17 years and a manager, and so I understand data sets, I understand how computers work, and I understand, you know, what the risks are and the vulnerabilities of these machines. So we just said, okay, well, you've just broken the law, Travis County Elections Department. We are going to file an election contest because I know I won. And we're going to pursue it in the courts. And something's happened. We're going to figure this out. So we filed a lawsuit, and we started getting discovery of what was going on and what happened. And very interesting, we were the first candidate that, and I say we because it was a team of people that helped work on this. We were the first campaign that actually got what's called audit logs of the main tabulation computer for all the votes to come in and the stuff's being counted. with a computer. And those audit logs time date stamp every single thing that goes on. And what we saw in the audit logs was shocking. No candidate had ever gotten them before in the country. But I knew about them because that's my background. Computers keep logs of what the heck goes on. So we got these logs in Discovery, and the county had no clue what was on them. They gave them to us. And my gosh, you wouldn't believe the stuff that was on them, like corruption errors, memory cards going in that the computer, main computer, didn't know where they came from. It said, uh-oh, corrupt card, please don't download this data. They downloaded it anyway. And so then we got the numbers of the corrupt cards, and those corrupt cards, we got the audit logs of those corrupted cards that were put in the main computer when they were being tabulated. And that card, the main one that was corrupted, had been missing out of the county for about 19 days. It had gone out and come back and gone out and come back twice. And when we started asking the judge, you know, we're getting really close here, you know, to the root cause of the issue. When we started asking for the manuals of those machines and that memory card that was corrupted, we were thrown out of court for a frivolous lawsuit. Just thrown out right then, cut short of our trial that we never got to. And it was a deal that the other side tried to cut, and they said, we will not sanction you for this frivolous lawsuit where you have no evidence if you don't appeal. And I'll tell you one thing. My husband and I had to really, really do a come-to-Jesus, heart-to-heart conversation. And we said, do we step up and take personal responsibility, or do we step back and be a victim because we know something's wrong? And we decided to stand up for righteousness and the rule of law, and we pursued an appeal. And they sanctioned us $100,000. My husband, you could have just, like, he was fit to be tied.
Okay, I need an explanation on they sanctioned you $100,000. What is that about?
Okay, so they said that all of the evidence that we brought forward, the audit logs, the no legal ballots, there were also other election records they had not printed because the Secretary of State told Travis County, don't worry, you don't need them. All of this stuff we brought forward, and we said, we can't know the results of this election. The only legal ballots are the absentee ballots, which are paper, which are illegal. They're exactly tied. All these electronic ballots are corrupted per the logs. So we can't know the results. So let's have a new election. That was our legal claims and the arguments. And they said, oh, none of this is evidence. So we're throwing you out of court, and we're going to sanction you $100,000 for a frivolous lawsuit.
Oh, so that was that was
makes sense.
Okay, so this was the judge himself.
Yes.
Penalizing you because he's claiming you brought a frivolous lawsuit in his courtroom?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Because I'm saying something. This is what happens in Texas. All the election contests are all about trotting in a couple voters, ask them how they voted, are you legal? And we dealt with the second part of Stalin's equation, which was the counting. No one's ever done it in the state of Texas. We challenged the electronic counting, and the backup records are supposed to be there, required by law, and they were not there. And uh-oh, we've now opened a can of worms that, and it was said in the courtroom, we're sanctioning you to make sure no one else challenges these electronic voting machines again.
Well, why didn't they just make it $1 million? Because it...
They had to base it on the legal fees at that point with their lawyer. A formula that they had to use. And so it was over $100,000. And then they said, we'll sanction you some more if you go appeal. And I'm like, we're appealing. I know, can you believe it? It's hard for me to believe it. Bless my husband's heart. He was just like, oh my gosh.
Laura, I would believe this would take, I would believe this would take place in California.
I know
or
it.
New York or wherever, but not in Texas. And not in the county, and not in the county seat.
I know it.
All right, we got a break. We got a break here. I don't know if you can hear the bumper music. Let's take the 3-minute break. My guest today, Dr. Laura Presley, folks. Here's somebody that's pushing back. She got burned. She didn't put her tail between her legs. She stood up.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy.
Gotta get a little crazy here because things... things... Folks, I never thought in my life that I would be doing what I was doing and the reasons why I do it, because things are, saw this stuff coming for years. Things are so screwed up now. Before I want to get back to the judge here. By the way, can we say the judge's name?
Yes, it was Judge Dan Mills. He was our district judge. He was appointed by a administrative judge in Travis County. Yes.
Okay. You know, I keep asking this question, and nobody has given me an intelligent answer back. People like Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, other Democrats or socialists, or give them a name, communists, yeah. How can they raise their right hand? They have to do this. This is the public affirmation that they've got to do, raising the right hand and swearing to protect and defend the Constitution, when you already know going in by their own proclamations of what they are and what they believe politically. How can these people even take the seat?
Well, the question is, did they really win?
Well.
This is the question. You know, when you realize that If you really realize and ask the question, if these elections are truly honest, then you really opens up another, it explains a lot, because you can't vote the bombs out, because they're in and you're not allowed to vote them out. The vote, they could have lost the vote, but they won the count. And that's the Stalin's issue. That's, you know, that was what he really proclaimed. It doesn't matter who's voting, it doesn't matter who's counting.
Well,
and no one has ever focused on the illegalities of the counting. Now, you know, we've heard, you know, Bernie had his election stolen. We know that. He didn't do squat about it. We had elections in Florida that we knew there were issues. Not one candidate filed an election contest. If the candidates don't stand up, we're lost, because they're the ones that have the legal standing to do something. Voters don't have it.
Oh, but we've been hearing about reforms for a number of years.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's talking about legal voters. The mainstream media, that's all they talk about. They will not focus on counting illegalities or criminal behavior. And that's what our case touched on, and we were slapped for it by the district court judge, and then by an appeals court. The appeals court we went to, we appealed. They just pencil whipped it and said, yeah, what the district court said. Completely disregarding the state constitution of Texas that requires all these things, and the election code that requires all these things, and they just said,
let me make sure I'm understanding exactly what you're saying to me. You appealed this case. They just basically looked at the original case and said, yeah, that's right. Denied?
That's right. You got it.
So, okay, on appeal, there was no presentment of evidence. There was nothing that you could put in front of that judge that he would look at it and say, okay, there seems to be, okay, we're going to go ahead with the appeal.
There were three appeals court judges that just pencil whipped it and said, yeah, what that other guy said. And then we got sanctioned some more at the appeals court. And then they said, if you appeal it to the Texas Supreme Court, we're going to sanction you some more if you lose.
Oh, okay, so we got lower courts that are claiming that if you move this case to the state Supreme Court, which they don't have anything to do with now, they've already stuck their foot wherever they've stuck it in their big mouths, let's just say.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they're telling you that, oh, well, we're going to go in there and punish you a little bit more if you go to the Supreme Court, which they have nothing to do with.
Exactly.
Oh.
And what happened to due process? Why am I being sanctioned for getting redress of my grievances in a court of law? And so, again, we decide to step up and take personal responsibility and not step back and be a victim. And about this time, this is when I decide that I am going to do this pro se. I'm going to get rid of my lawyers, and we're going to write this petition to the Texas Supreme Court ourselves. And I had another lawyer, a woman, dear, brilliant, courageous woman, helped me in the background with all kind of the technical things you have to do to get through the Texas Supreme Court. But I wrote it as pro se. And I'm going to be really honest. There was a lot of prayer that happened in those months when this was being written, and a lot was coming to me about how to approach it. The thing that came to me was the dear Lord said, go read every election contest in the state of Texas that's ever been filed in an appeals court and in the Texas Supreme Court back to the 1800s. And I did it. I read every election contest ever filed in the state of Texas, probably two or three times, to get an idea of how these things are structured. And so, more and more prayer, and the ideas came to do it this way, XYZ way. And so we did.
All right. Now, hold on. We've got another break coming up, a three-minute break.
Yeah.
Let's pick it up exactly from that point. I read the article in the American Free Press, and I'll tell you what, after talking with you for this half hour, I am shocked. My jaw is hitting the desk right now. Okay, Dr. Laura Presley's with us. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
During the break, Laura was talking to the secretary. She lives in Austin. She knows how corrupt that city is. And I am sitting here getting your firsthand account and your experience with the state on the issue of voting. And the vote in this country is an election process to best seat those that will represent. Now, I don't know what they're representing. I hear that we're now a democracy. But even saying that, they cannot count a vote correctly. This Hillary Clinton, she won by 3 million votes. No, we have the electoral process, and the way I put this, somebody pointed this out to me, Laura, that, you know, we have a lot more red states than blue states, because what's happening here is we have 50 red states, but the major metropolitan areas, we have blue dots within the red states. If these votes, if we could track this back to Hillary Clinton, I can guarantee you that these votes came from cities like New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, major cities. And we have an electoral process, and we have not a popular vote, which is indicative of what? a democracy. And now I'm hearing more and more and more. See if you can go one day without some news person, some politician, somebody saying something about our democracy. Now, yeah. I can remember, and I've got a copy in this office of a field manual, an Army field manual from 1948. This is when they still called it the Department of War. Now, soldiers go into the military, and there is a good risk that you're going to be in battle, and chances are you're going to die. Having said that, the Army generals figured this was important enough to let the soldiers know what they're fighting and possibly dying for. In this 1928 field manual, they put in there the difference between the republic versus the democracy. Right there for all the soldiers to read. So everybody was on the same page. And now we're having people, Laura, that are saying, well, we need, you know, this electoral, this all needs to be streamlined. We need now a direct vote. For national elections, state elections, it doesn't matter. We just need a direct vote. Well, you're sitting here telling me, and folks, if you think this is indicative of just Travis County or a few counties in Texas, stop taking your drugs, whatever it is. We have 3,000 counties in this country, and I could lay you dollar to donuts that where these votes were contested or the candidates looking at this and going, what the heck happened? I don't know what happened. But yet you are going through the process of, okay, I'm going to trust you, but excuse me, I want to verify. You're going to the state officials. You're saying, look, I need to see the vote count and all of that stuff. And they're telling you, no, that's not for you to see. You need to trust us. But
That's right. Here
we have a situation. They're not releasing the information because this would be an indictment against them. Anybody whether it's a judge,
I know,
whether it's a precinct person that's in charge of something that has to do with the vote, this should be 100% verifiable from the biggest person involved to the smallest person to make sure everybody's doing their job right, to make sure this vote is being counted correctly, because this is at the nexus of what our government is supposed to be about, open and transparent. I've got a secretary here. I thought she was going to stroke out. She's hearing in detail what you're saying, and she's sitting there shaking her head. She said, I knew they were corrupt. I just didn't know how much.
And ask her if she heard about our case in the Austin media.
No, she didn't. No, she did not.
Exactly. It's been embargoed. And you know, we're not talking about illegal voters. We're talking about counting illegalities and criminal behavior. They're not covering that. They won't cover it because it's really where the rubber meets the road. And I'll tell you one thing. You know, we are so divided as a country. We think that our neighbor's not voting correctly. We are voting appropriately. We want the rule of law. So we blame each other. But what if we are all voting according to the rule of law, and someone is the puppet master behind that curtain changing the totals? And then we're going to continue to fight each other when we're all on the same side. It's the counting that matters, and that's where the problem is. So we're pointing the finger at the counting, not the illegals voting. Because I'll tell you one thing. If the illegals are actually showing up to vote, they're hacking and changing their vote too. Okay, I want you to think about that. So, you know, here we are. You know, we've got this appeals court in Austin. Three judges who just pencil-whipped what the district court said and said, we're going to punish you some more if you go to the Texas Supreme Court. And so we took a leap of faith. We're now, you know, we filed this case in the Texas Supreme Court, did a petition for review, took a leap of faith. I'm a woman of faith, and I did a lot of prayer, and I tried my best to approach it the way I was getting inspiration to do that from I'm a Christian from my dear Lord. And it kept progressing through the Texas Supreme Court. And our case at that point was about $400,000. And I knew when I started this process and the appeal, the money was going to be there. So I went all over the state of Texas. I gave about 275 presentations in 3 years on our case and asked people to help me move this case forward in the Texas Supreme Court. And people came through. We had small donors. We had large donors, medium donors. And we raised the money for this case because this case was not about me. This case was about every candidate in the state of Texas and every voter who wanted their vote counted as it was cast. And so we did that. We moved it forward. We were in truth. We were in justice. We were in righteousness. And the case kept progressing through the Texas Supreme Court. They didn't deny the case. The other side was flipping out. They were flipping out. They couldn't believe it.
Okay, let me make sure I have a full understanding about the Supreme Court level here. Okay, is the case in front of them now?
No, we won the case three weeks ago. They came out with a ruling.
Okay, yes. That's okay.
We won it. That's okay. The end of the movie.
All
yeah.
Right. Now, okay.
And they don't take every case. The Texas Supreme Court is not obligated to take any case. They take about 5% of cases.
Right.
And they rule positively on even fewer. And so we went to the Texas Supreme Court. They kept progressing it. They kept, okay, well, Mr. Kassar in Austin, Texas, Laura Presley's opponent, you have to reply to her petition and give us some reason why this is frivolous because we're not getting it. And so they, you know, spent hours and hours doing a petition, you know, explaining what the issues were. And then the court looked at that and goes, doesn't make sense to us. So let's progress it even further. And so it took at least four of the non-justices to say, let's do full briefing in the Supreme Court of Texas. And the other side was flipping out. They couldn't believe it. And so we did full briefing. So we filed a total of four briefs, pro se, which means there's no lawyer on the case, on my case. It was under my name. I had a lawyer in the background kind of helping me with some technical
stuff. On procedure. And that's important because a lot of these cases will get tossed if the procedure is messed up.
You got it. And so we wanted to check that box as perfectly as possible. And they kept progressing it. And so 3 weeks ago, we got a ruling. And it was a unanimous decision from the Texas Supreme Court that all of the evidence that we brought forward was evidence. And it was not frivolous. And they removed all the sanctions. And here's what was at risk in Texas. With the appeals court pencil whipping and blessing that district court's ruling, it set precedent in the state of Texas that no candidate ever going forward could ever bring statistical analysis, audit logs, ballots that weren't legal. There were no backup records. The criminal behavior of them not showing us where they got the records when they recounted them, all of that was at risk of being confirmed and set a precedent that was no evidence. That was what was at risk for Texas. And we knew it, and we couldn't let that sit. So that's why we pursued it. And the court came back and said, well, Laura, we can't put you on city council. The election contest is moot, so we're not going to rule on the merits of the contest, but all the stuff that we claimed was evidence, they said had legal merit and was not frivolous and was evidence. Right. And because our trial got cut short by all this craziness that the district court did, all this illegality, we never got to trial in our contest. But that's okay. This is not about me. The Supreme Court said the district court abused their discretion, which is very severe.
Now, is there going to be any judicial review and sanction of these judges?
No, there's not. There's not. But I'll tell you one thing. Let me just let you feel real confident about this. This was a slap. This was not good for the district court or the appeals court. In the ruling said that the court erred. And this case, I've been all over the state talking about this. what the Texas Supreme Court did unanimously was beautiful. It was a blessing. It was a miracle that they said the rule of law is going to prevail. And we're so grateful for it. This was a, you know, I'm reminded in the Old Testament of Gideon, where God said, you know, I'm not going to give you all these soldiers. I'm going to give you just a few because you're going to take credit for it instead of give the Lord the credit. Well, I'm giving the Lord the credit on this because there's no, this is an absolute miracle. And the rule of law prevailed, justice prevailed, and candidates in Texas can now claim counting fraud and not worry about being sanctioned like I was.
All right. Let me take a call here in Florida. Mark in Florida. Go ahead.
Thanks for letting me in, John. Hello. Good afternoon or evening. This is a wonderful, wonderful guest. I wanted to ask, when you're appealing or filing motions in front of judges concerning elections, and the judges are elected, it seems to me to be they would have to recuse themselves because they're ruling on, or they're preventing you from discovering.
I see where you're going with this one. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. You ask a good question. Why would the judges bite the hand that feeds them? Right? That's kind of the big picture. And that's why the Supreme Court was so important, because the Supreme Court is elected statewide. It's not in the district where the stuff is happening. And so that's why the Supreme Court really is powerful. And in Texas, in this moment, we have a dang good Supreme Court. And we, you know, they didn't give us everything we wanted. They gave us about 85%. And then the other 15%, they kind of gave dog whistles to the Secretary of State and to the county. Y'all messed up. Don't, you know, you're on notice. We're giving you, kind of like we're giving you one chance. You know, we're not going to berate you too much. But there was dog whistles in that ruling. And we're grateful for that. We know how wills of government work. We know how this works. We're not naive. And this was an absolute miracle case, and it was justice and the rule of law prevailed, and some hands got slapped, and we were glad it did.
I just wish that there was misfeasance and malfeasance applied to the perpetrators.
Yeah, where's the punishment for this obvious wrongdoing?
Well, it's a lot of embarrassment. I want you to know these judges do not like being overturned by the Texas Supreme Court. Because here's the deal. Understand this. The Texas Supreme Court doesn't take but 5% of cases. So for them to take it from a pro se candidate and say there was abuse of discretion, I'm going to tell you something, guys. In the world of, in that world, that's as bad as it gets. So it is worse than we as lay people think. Because it is a big bar to go over, and they did it.
All right.
Mark, thank you, John.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. Now, I got to ask the obvious question. Now, this was going back to what, 2014?
It was a 4-year process, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So what is the term on city council? Say that you would have gotten a seat. How long is the term?
It was 2 years. So we were... And interestingly, the appeals court took 10 months to come up with a pencil whip ruling that said everything's frivolous. And so they burn up 10 months so that we could not go back to the trial and do the right thing. So that's, you know, that's the way it goes, that they had that prerogative and they abused, you know, their time, in my opinion. And so, you know, the bottom line is that no one had gone here before. And now that there's a precedent on this, it's going to be easier for other candidates next time.
Well,
and we understand that.
And speaking of which, is there going to be a next time for you?
There will be. You know, there's a lot of election integrity issues going on in Texas. This is a tip of the iceberg. So I formed a company, True Texas Elections, LLC, and we are focused on helping candidates when there are counting issues. And we believe the candidates have, they have the standing, the legal standing, and we're here to support them, because the more the candidates that file contests and that hold the system accountable, I mean, look what we did. I might not have gone on city council, but that's okay. We changed the system to where it's more easily become more honest and more just, and more candidates need to do that. So in the future, I will run, but right now we're focused on making the system better so that I can actually win the count next time.
You know, I've been admonishing and warning our listening audience, it's time to push back. You got in the ring, you hauled back, and you did a knockout punch. This wasn't a pushback. This was a knockout. Hang on 1 second. We got to take this last break. Dr. Laura Presley will be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll have about another 4.5 with Laura Presley.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on, and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back. Laura, do me a favor. The website that you mentioned, the business that you had started, please relay that. And is this a website?
Well, I'll tell you what. We have a site. It's called PresleyForAustin.com. And it's PresleyForAustin.com. That's our site. And, you know, we're continuing to raise funds to pay the debt for this case. We raised about, It was about $400,000 case. We've raised about $360,000, so we're about $40,000 in debt right now.
Okay, now is this minus? Okay, the sanctions were not levied against you; they were repealed.
They were repealed. Yes.
Okay,
they
so this totally $360,000.
It's a lot. That was, you know, going through the district court with depositions and all the, you know, the lawyers that I had in the district court, the lawyer that I had in the appeals court, and then I got rid of the lawyers in the Texas Supreme Court, and so we really cut our costs there.
But
the Texas Supreme Court.
You had a favorable outcome. You got rid of the lawyers. You went pro se, and you won. What does that tell you?
I know. It's a miracle.
It's not a miracle. We're dealing with corruption as well. Lawyers. Oh boy.
Well, you know, they struggled. The first time anybody's ever done this, so they didn't know what. You know, I mean, we learned a lot going through this. So anyway, we are still $40,000 in debt, and we're asking people to help donate. PresleyForAustin.com, and all of our legal documents are on there. The history of the case is there, and it's very interesting. You know, we talked just about a little bit of it here, but, you know, it is, and here's where the nerve is. Accounting is the issue. This is the paradigm shift that we're trying to get people to understand. The counting is where the issues are. Candidates have to challenge the counting when they know their election, the results are not accurate, and we're here to help them. And my contact information is there on that site.
You're the only one in the country that's doing this, Dr. Presley. You are going to be of immense help to a whole lot of people.
We hope so. And you know what? The thing about the Texas Supreme Court, other states look at our cases. And this case is going to be there forever. And other states are going to look at this and go, oh, my gosh, corruption errors on logs, statistical analysis, no tapes, no ballots that are legal. You know, this is going to help candidates around the country.
You have literally put the tools in their hands of which they can use. This is not to be underestimated. I hope you're paying close attention to what this woman just did.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We had a lot of help. We had a lot of prayers. We had a lot of financial support from people around the state. And we were in the righteousness. And so when you're in truth and justice and righteousness for the right reason, gifts are given and the truth prevails. We're grateful.
I cannot wait. My goodness, if you run again for Austin City Council, they're going to see you coming and they're going to be afraid. If you get next time you run for the Austin City Council and you win, I'm going to have somebody in the Austin City Council that I'll be able to discuss issues with that will be honest and forthright. I am giddy just for that. There's a payoff here for me as well.
You're so precious, John. Thank you for this, and thank you for letting the story get out. And praise the Lord for all the victories, and
praise the Lord. Pass that ballot box. I'm going to count it.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Dr. Presley, thanks again, and we're going to stay in contact. This is exciting. Finally, victory, moving in a positive direction rather than having to cover up and take more of their stuff. Enough of that.
Right.
Thanks again. Bless I appreciate it.
Bless you, John. Thank you.
All right. Let's take top of the hour break with positive news for once. Isn't that amazing?
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.